Okay, Ron, thank you so much. I'm a little bit hoarse for some reason.
Notes that. You've been yelling at Braves?
No.
They've been losing enough to get
yelled
at.
Now, I've done enough of that whenever they kept bringing these young guys in here, and it almost, well, today's games were two-thirds of the season.
Yeah.
There's only a third of the season left, and they're still trying to bring somebody in that can close out a game. And they,
can't find the right closer.
No, it seems like it's tough. Okay, turn with me back to the 13th chapter of John. Seems like we've been in there forever, but not quite. And we went over, I think, the last study. I marked it down on 26, where I'd got to. And I'm a little in front of myself on that. But we'll start back with 26. John 13, 26. There's 38 verses here, so we're getting pretty close to 14. So, back to John chapter 13, 26 verse. And this is at the supper, at the last supper, the third supper, or whatever you call it there. It said, we were going over this thing about these illustrations here in the Word that John left us. And the fact that we could see pretty much on how things look there for the Lord's Supper. You know, you see it painted in different places, and that, I guess that's the different concepts of those that are determining what these folks would have been dressed in or even not dressed. Because this is turned into a foot washing too. And so the questions are still coming along. The question in verse 25 was the very last part of that said, Lord, who is it? Meaning, who is going to betray you? Or which one of us are going to betray you? Because he's already said that I chose 12 and one of you is it. And they're looking around at each other. And the way they were situated at the table was a kind of a unorthodox thing, but that's the way it come up. And so we'll start there. And it said, and Jesus answered in verse 26, and I'll just read it out of the King James, and it says, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So, this was not an unusual thing that they would do at these meetings, some of these meetings like this, because, you know, it seemed to be an honor for somebody that was doing the, over the table or over the meeting there to give someone that they felt like it was going to be honored or going to be in the know, a piece of bread for a sop. And Jesus said, it is when I shall give a sop or a morsel. And it said it was a mark of honor for the host to give a portion to one of the guests. And so, the way things get picked up down through the ages, these things get to be a common thing that may have not have been very common in the very beginning there. But it said the Lord had appeared to the conscience of Judas in verse 21. And it says that was his conscience that the Lord had appealed to. And now he's going to appeal to his heart. And
good note.
So here it was, a two-barrel shot toward Judas Iscariot, because that's who got the dip of the sop. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after great meeting, after the sup, it says Satan here in verse 27 entered into him. Of course, that was Judas Iscariot. Then said Jesus unto him, thou doest do quickly. That was a direct order unto Satan. And that thou doest do it quickly. And my note that I made said read rest of the notes in the CB on verse 27. Okay, Satan. In the companion side, it said the only occurrence of this title in John of Satan was here. Before this clause in the Greek, in the word tote, then marking the point of time, it is strangely ignored in the authorized version. It is significant that the rejection of the Lord's last appeal hardened Judas so that his heart became open to the entrance of Satan. Up to this moment, Judas had been possessed by the evil thought. Now, this tells us that he is obsessed by the evil one. And so, 28 says this. Well, let's go on and finish this. Then is therefore the Lord knew that he had taken place and that further appeal was useless. He dismissed him to the work he had set upon. See the terrible words in Psalms 41:6. His heart gathered iniquity to itself, and he goeth abroad, he telling exactly what Judas did. And in verse 28, this is where I thought we had gotten to. But I guess it was 26, but I already had notes made up. So I just marked it underlined in one of my notes here, and we're down to 28 now. And it says, now, No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, that Jesus was speaking this unto Judas. So, no one there in the Greek is Odysseus. Now, those reclining there in the Greek was Anakiamea. Knew for what intent, with a view to. In the Greek is pros, and that's 104. XV 3:15. What he spake this unto him. So even what he spake unto Judas was not truly understood at that point. In 28, it said, they were still reclining for the intent with a view to speak this unto him or speak to him. So, the way they were, they were seated and the way they were leaned up and talking to one another and were doing this, it just didn't pass out like it was some big deal. But in verse 29, it says this, for some of them thought because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy these things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So Judas always was the one that kept the bag and doled out whatever they needed to get. And so this was just their way of thinking, because Judas had the bag, and the bag there is gosokomon, that Jesus had said unto him, buy, that we have need of against or for East, the feast, the day, the 15th day of Nisan began at the evening, that evening, and that was the evening before Nisan began on the, and that's in Act 156, or that he should give something to the poor. And I got that in, let's see, in 29. One 127-1 says, Patakos, meaning those that are destitute or in want. That would be the poor that they were thinking of and maybe considering, you know, that he might tell them to do that because of the event that was taking place there. And the feast that they were having. And so it says in 30, it talks about that one. In verse 30, it says this, he then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. and where he went immediately out. And they said it was night. So it was probably about that point in time. It was probably about 9 p.m., the third hour. So it was probably pretty dark by that time, even in their time. And so we get to 31 where it says, therefore. And usually when you see a therefore at the beginning of a verse of scripture, you need to stop and think about it for a second and ask yourself the question, well, what is therefore there for?
Yep.
So because of Judas going out was the therefore. Because that was somewhat uncommon, but maybe not all that much out of place. But this is another situation here, and Jesus said to the rest. So when Judas has left, because the Lord told him that what you do, do it quickly.
Yeah, get on with it.
Get on with it. And so he certainly got up and did it. And it said, now is in this instance is the word N-U-N. Is the Son of Man glorified? Talking about Christ. He is now glorified. And it's a characteristic word that you find in John's Gospel. And you can see it 11:4, 12:16, 12:23, and 12:28, 17:1, and so on and so forth. I looked at this for a little bit and thought about Jack Eberle. Because in Jack's book, when he finished his book, and I got a couple of copies of them that he gave to me. You know, he had, a lot of times he had eight or ten verses of scripture he wanted you to look at, but they were in different places.
Mm-hmm. To demonstrate the word.
To demonstrate the word of what was being said or what was being done. I know for a fact, even just studying this with notes already there, that Jack spent a good bit of time, I'm sure, doing this, because it was an introduction to me as to how this companion Bible was worded, and Jack was kind of using the format that was already here in these places, because there's lots of this stuff here now that I didn't get to, because you could have spent one or two studies just on one word.
Yep.
If since we have gone this far into the study, and it says God is glorified in him, talking about the Son of God being glorified now. And it said, God be glorified in him. God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightly euthus, that's straightway. Euthus glorify him. So, he was making it quite plain and clear there that with all this glorifying that were being done, that it seems to go in steps, kind of up toward the heavenly places somewhat, in my mind. But it goes back to verse 33. And in verse 33, it says, little children, yet, technon, the word technon, a little while, I am with you. So he calls these people little children. Here that he is, addressing those people that were with him for 3 years, almost 3 years, that before Christ could, before Jesus could begin to teach. And he said, you shall see me. A little while I am with you and you shall see me full stop. So evidently there's something going to take place here. So in Act 108:2, let's see if I'm marking it down here on 33. Talking about the children was a term of endearment there. But he's speaking to these people like they are unlearned to a point that they cannot understand it. Because that's what the talked about little children, a little while I'm with you, you can see me. And I said unto the Jews, even as to them, whither I go, you cannot come. Or you're not able at this point to come. Okay. And this is the third time in the book of John that he had said this, these words. He says, so now I say unto you. So this is a continuation of things. So, but he called them little children like, well, I'm going to train you into. He'll tell you a little story and you're going to get the message. You can see me now, but I'm going to be gone and you can't see me and I've got to go. But where I go, you can't come yet.
No.
Okay. And he says, in verse 34, I say unto you, so he continues it on with with 33. Now I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you a new commandment I give unto you. So this continues with the word in the Greek is kainos, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And in verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. If you have this kind of love among yourselves. The only other place in the Gospels where in alios occurs is in Mark, is in Mark 9:50. Let's see if I... No, I didn't put that down there. Well, the gospel says, in Alanos, Mark 50. I meant to make a note on that, but I don't think I did. Let's see, 35, no. Okay, going on. So now we get into the questions and answer period. 36. Simon Peter said unto him, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. So here's questions that Peter had something to say back to him about this in verse 37. And he said, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus said this to him. Jesus answered him in verse 38. Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? That's a question. He asked Peter. And he looked at him and he said, thou shalt not, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice or three times. So, Jesus answered him and said, will I lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, a cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me thrice. And that shall not there is by no means, or in the Greek, it's ou me. 105, and that means that he has utterly denied Christ three times. And it's always used as, always as denying a person. So that was a saying there that having been glorified, then the Son knew exactly what was coming up. He didn't have to ask. And it is so that this is, will follow, that some of the things he's going to say now that the questions and the answers are going to be if. And if means maybe or maybe not. But it needs to be God's will at all times, because now when you're looking at the Son of God, it's the same as looking at the Father, because they are now one in containment. It's a situation where when you go to the next chapter, which is chapter 14, he says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And okay, here's the way this is worked out. And in chapter 14, this is a return back to the Father. And this whole chapter deals with three things where Jesus is telling them about returning to the Father. And it's done with purpose. That's several verses of scripture. And it's done with promise. That's another bunch of verses. And it's done to give you and me and everyone that reads it comfort, because of what he is going to do and what he did, what he's saying he's going to do. And I don't know if these people have ever heard some of this or not. Let not your heart, the whole being, talking here about when he talks about his heart, is Milos. Being troubled, full stop. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The whole being is himself, together with the soul and the spirit. And it's the whole being meant there. Let not your heart be troubled. Because even in all this, and even these three stages here, the purpose, the promise, and the comfort, there is still comfort and joy in all three of them. And in verse 2, and it starts with E-N there. I know it says I-N in the CB, but it means E-N in the Greek. E-N, my Father's house are many more abiding places, mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So he says this, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, I guess the place is being prepared. It has been prepared for a long time. We just haven't got it yet.
Yep, haven't seen it.
So, talking about in my Father's abiding places are the many mansions. In verse 2 through verse 7, kind of go together in John's gospel. In verse 3, it says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So, in this situation here, no one being left out, really. He says, if I go, I'll come again. In 3. But before I come again, I'll prepare a place for you. And I will come again. And I'll receive you unto myself. And that means to see something exterior to oneself. It doesn't mean really that you're going to be able to maybe to understand that this is not just for one person, but it is for those in Christ. And verse 4 says this. Let me turn the page to verse 3. Well, verse 2 says, if it were not so, and says there's no verb here. If it were not so, I would have told you. That I go. And I go to prepare a place for you. And that word is hoti. H-O-T-I in the Greek. And if I go, in verse 3, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. The Greek word oida, at 132. I-2, and the way you know. Well, that was good enough for most of them, but you got Thomas here in the crowd, doubting Thomas.
Yep. Always one, right?
Always one there. It's got to bring up questions or two. In verse 5 says this, and Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? So he's at a loss here for the want of information. And you find there in the notes that it's out 94, Roman numeral 3-14. You got, when you look at this, you're looking at a big bunch of information here. And this information tells you quite a lot about what these people have been involved in for this 4,000 years. And that a lot of their verbal speech is from around the area that they live. You remember when we talked about Martha and Mary and Lazarus? And I said in my study that I had looked in there, and the reason Martha was listed first, that her name was from the High German. Well, this 14 comes from that same grouping there, and it says quite a lot of that was Low German, or it was High Greek, Classic Greek. And said many of those people evidently didn't have the knowledge to speak the Classic Greek. And so that's the reason that we've got in the New Testament, the Koine Greek. Because that's the way that worked down to that. And so the Koine Greek is the common Greek language of most of the people that were there. Now, the Classic Greek was those that had been taught under great teachers. But it said the best. But down into the Koine Greek, it was down to something that everyone could understand better than the Classic stuff or the high German teaching that was there. That's the reason there's many more than 14 of these paragraphs basically in there, but this is the reason you've got that many. And I didn't go to the rest of them because this was what I was looking at here. And it says Jesus in Act 98, X 10. Well, that's 10. But in 5, Thomas was speaking in the Koine Greek when he said, "Lord, we not whither do thou goest? And how can we know the way? Are you going to tell us?" And Jesus said unto Thomas, and it says in the notes that this affirmation used by our Lord at least 25 times in John. Here it is. I am the way. It is I. Is what it that equals. It is I, and that is ego emi. I am the way. It is ego emi, the truth. I am the way and the truth. And the Greek there is aletheia. And that's in Act 175 too. And this occurs 25 times from the lips of the Lord. And then we have the rest of it, and the life. And this is at 170-1. So, -70-1 is a characteristic word in the gospel, and it occurs 36 times. But in the Greek, it is principally in three things. It is Zoe. Zoe, that's life in all things. And then you have the life in the plants. And then you have the life in the animals. And it gives you the characteristics of all of those things there. I didn't write all this. I didn't write all that down. But, and it says, no man or no one cometh, John 6:44, no man cometh, 6:44, unto the Father. See John 1:14. But through me. In the Greek is I me, but through is thou. And thou is 104, Roman numeral 5-1, meaning me. So I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man can cometh unto the Father except by or through me.
Yep.
How many of these people do you think had heard that before? Evidently it had been mentioned before quite a lot. But it had not, evidently had not really soaked in until the one that's been glorified now is telling it again for remembrance all time. And that was verse 6. Let's do verse 7. Because Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest the way. And Jesus said this verse to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, in verse 7, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him, and you have seen him. Well, another one says, whoa, wait a minute here. Philip. It went from Thomas to Philip. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father if it sufficeth. And it sufficeth.
That's why he got frustrated with him. Huh? That's why he got so frustrated with them. They couldn't understand that He was the physical embodiment of the Father on the earth.
Yeah. Now.
They can't get that.
Yeah. Right. They
don't understand their dealing with
that's
God.
That's their rhema. They have heard it, but they never have really understood it. And then I wanted to get to this. Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Have I been with you this long?
All these things I've told you, and you still don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, "Show us the Father"? Believest thou not that I am in the Father? And the Father in me? Okay, here we are. When you're looking at either one, you're seeing the two as one here in this. Because the Father, it says, believest thou not, I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that speaketh unto you, I speak not of myself. Full stop. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am. You remember back in the scripture when somebody in the Old Testament says, talking about it, he was or he had been sent, and he says, "Who sent you?" And he said, "I am sent you."
Yeah.
Well, now they're one.
Yeah. The I am. Yeah.
I am in the Father. Listen to this. And the Father in me. Full stop. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. Because now he says, here I'm standing here. And I and the Father are one. I speak what the Father speaks. And we speak the same thing. And that's the reason why he has to go back and make the statement here that I'm going to send you people. I'm going to send you comforters. I'm going to send you different things. You can ask, and I will send it. But it should be, we will send it, because it's not going to be sent unless it's God's will.
Yeah, amen.
And he's saying, I'll send it, but it's God's will. And if it isn't God's will, it's not going to get done.
Yeah.
But there's going to be several things here that they're going to have to understand. And I'll make a mark here in 11. And we'll pick up with it and go on, because I've got two or three more pages here to do. I've already got that much done.
Definitely well noted up.
But here it is now that it's not now just the Son working on his own and telling these people, the Father sent me. Now he's saying the Father's in me, because he's been glorified, and God has been glorified by him in his work. He says, if you don't believe me, believe the work.
Yeah.
That's being had here right now. He's got to go back and explain what he said in 14, down and see all this has got comfort in it. It's, every bit of it has got the three things that we talked about there a while ago. And so this is comfort for these people. And I never really understood the comforter being come until after Christ was on the cross. And so that he talks about another comfort or another comforter. And another comforter showed himself in other ways through these other people. And it talks about those things that were being done by the power of God with the help of the comforter. And I think that's the reason that they got all this power, they could lay the hands on and do all this stuff. And they had gotten it, maybe without really understanding it to that point. And I think that's one thing I mentioned a little bit a while ago that we talked about. And we decided, well, no, that wasn't it. But do you see the difference in the way that the Son said, now you can believe the works.
Yeah. He said, believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me. And if you can't believe that, just believe it for the work's sake.
Yeah. Because
what he did should prove to them.
That he's going to go back and explain some of these works to them a little bit. That, you know, this has been happening. All this stuff down through the ages was happening. All these prophets and all these people and all this was getting information and having power.
Yeah. Well, the comfort of the whole thing is with the disciples that when he teaches them for the 40 days, they finally get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll stop there.
It takes them a while, but they finally get it. Yeah.
And we'll pick it up next time and go on. But it's just, to me, it's a learning experience. It's just really a learning experience.
For all of us, yeah.
To me, it is. To understand that what he had to do to go. And, yeah, man, if you can't believe this, believe the works.
Yep.
Believe what happened.
Amen.